Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is our 849th day together in the Word of God, and we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So our second day in this wonderfully challenging book of Ecclesiastes that deals with the realities of life in this world, life under the sun, and the vaporousness of it, and the difficulty that comes when we try to find permanence and try to find our eternal joy here, but then sort of what there is in life, right? And how it's ordered. All those things are in this book. So let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we look at chapter 2 together this morning. Father in heaven, you are so good. Your life is our life. Your word is our hope and our truth and the truth, and you are the source of all truth, and you understand better how life in this world is lived because you are the one who created it and put us in it, and you're the one who even frustrates us so that we would not put our eternal hope and satisfaction in it. So, Father, teach us from Ecclesiastes 2 today and write it on our hearts and give us the right perspective on this life and a heart for eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, King Solomon says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great, and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity, for of the wise, as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil, in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will be the master of all for which I have toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Well, that is Ecclesiastes 2 in the ESV. So, a couple of major sections here. The first major section is basically seeing if you can find any lasting satisfaction, any real joy or significance in life from pleasure, and all different kinds of pleasure. So this is sort of the hedonistic lifestyle. You might find pleasure in the physical carnal pleasures. And so he searched his heart how to cheer his body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom. So how to enjoy the feeling of being intoxicated without losing control and becoming a, you know, out of control, raging drunkard or alcoholic. How to lay hold on folly so that he might just sort of have a good time, right? Enjoy himself. Or building, maybe making great things, maybe really building something that will last. Great houses and vineyards, gardens and parks, maybe, you know, making things that other people can enjoy, gardens with fruit trees and pools that water the forest of the growing trees, maybe that. Or maybe having lots of possessions and lots of power, male and female slaves, slaves born in the house, lots of flocks and herds, more than everybody who came before, more than his father David, more than Saul, who was king before him, more than any of the ancient Jebusite kings of Jerusalem. Or how about entertainment? Singers, and men and women, concubines, everything he could possibly think of. And Solomon was far wealthier than any of us, so he had the ability to do all of it, right? Power, pleasure, possessions, entertainment, diversion. He became great. And while doing all this, still had great wisdom. Remember, Solomon was the greatest man of wisdom, the most wise man that ever lived other than the Lord Jesus. And so he had his wisdom with him. He was testing himself. He was doing this pleasure from working hard and from accomplishing things. And what did he say about all of it? Verse 11, the conclusion of all of it is all was vanity and a striving after wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. Now, does that mean that these things are absolutely meaningless? No, I don't think meaningless is the best word there, as I said last time. But they're vaporous. They don't really last, because even if they last longer than you, as he says later in the chapter, you're going to die and likely be forgotten, and someone else will enjoy them. And who knows if they even understand what it is that you built or why it is that you built it. It doesn't really give you the sort of eternal, lasting, satisfying joy that your soul is hungry for. It is a striving after wind. Even growing in great wisdom, which is certainly better than folly. He says in verse 13, there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. You'd rather see than not be able to see, right? You'd rather have light than have to live in darkness. So it's better to have wisdom than folly. But in the end, what does it actually do for you? You still die. You can still die from some random accident, so to speak. You can still die from some unseen disease process that you can't really control or stop. And what about your remembrance? A lot of wise people are forgotten, just like a lot of fools are forgotten. A lot of fools are remembered, just like a lot of wise people. You have no control over those things. It's, again, a striving after wind. If you think that by being wise, you're going to bring eternal satisfaction to your soul, it will not happen, because it's a striving after wind. You will die. And you will likely, almost everybody who dies. I heard this statistic a while ago and it was sobering to me. Almost everybody who dies is completely forgotten by everybody in the world 50 or 60 years after they die. Almost everybody. Think about it. You know your parents, right? You probably knew your grandparents, right? But did you know your great-grandparents? I did not know my great-grandparents. They died before I was born. I never met them, right? And how long ago did my great-grandparents die? Well, they died about 50 years ago. I'm 50 years old, so they died just slightly before, right about the time of my birth. I never knew them, and I don't remember them, and hardly anybody does remember them, right? My parents remember my great-grandparents, but, you know, not super well, and not for much longer, maybe another 10 to 12 years. And then, I mean, my mom's gone home to be with the Lord 5 years ago. My dad, I don't know how long the Lord's going to grant him. But you see, it's just this sobering fact that most people, like 99% of people in the world, are going to be completely forgotten by everybody who comes after them within 50 or 60 years. Does that make you feel insignificant? Only if you were hoping to find your significance in being remembered in this world after you die. And Ecclesiastes is telling us, don't look for that. Don't look for your significance, your purpose, your joy, your satisfaction in being remembered in this life after you die. I mean, you're going to be dead anyway. You're going to be gone from this life. So, what about hard work? Well, you could work hard. You could work hard and accomplish much. But then you have to leave it to the person who comes after you. And verse 19 is, if you know Solomon's life, verse 19 and much of this section here on the vanity of toil is very sobering, because he says, who knows whether he will be a wise or a fool, the person who comes after him. Well, the person who came after Solomon was Rehoboam, and he's known for Rehoboam's folly, where he basically blew it and lost most of the kingdom that he had inherited from his father Solomon. Within a short period of time of taking the throne, Rehoboam had lost 10 of the 12 tribes that Solomon had reigned over, and about 80% of the territory that Solomon had reigned over. And so Solomon was right to think this way, right? You don't know who's going to come after you. And so what can we do with life in this world? The last paragraph of chapter 2 tells us what we can do with life in this world. There's nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? So if you sit down for a nice meal or you have a nice enjoyable treat, thank the Lord for it, because it's God's gift to you. To the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. That's a gift of God. We enjoy it in this life. We do. To have wisdom is a gift of God. To see things the way they are. To have knowledge of the truth, especially as that truth is found in Jesus Christ, is the gift of God's grace. To have joy in the Lord in this life is a gift of God. Sinners who don't know God, they're given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. Because in the end, in the resurrection, in the life to come, in the new heavens and the new earth, we, according to Romans 8, are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. We will inherit the nations with Christ. So find your joy and satisfaction in Christ, and you will have a measure of wisdom, knowledge, and joy in this life, and you will have eternal pleasure in him forevermore. That's the secret. Enjoy what God's given you in this life, but don't make it the ultimate, because it's going to be gone quickly, and you're going to be gone quickly, and you're going to be forgotten. But find the joy that comes in Christ. Find the meaning that comes in Christ, and you will receive back again in the resurrection so much good, so much wisdom, so much knowledge, so much joy, and it will never, ever end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of Christ, our Savior. Thank you for the hope of the resurrection in Christ and the life to come, where nothing will ever be taken away from your people ever again. We praise you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So glad we get to go through this wonderful book together. Tomorrow, we're going to go back to the wonderful Gospel of John and John chapter 8. one of the great chapters of the Bible, John chapter 8, on tap for tomorrow. Hope you can join me for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.